This place is about, I've never actually measured it, but I would guess about 450 square feet. Although it feels much larger because the huge window on one side of the space is so huge that the street in front, which is essentially a pedestrian street because there's no through traffic, becomes sort of an extension of the room itself. Although, as you can see now, it gets almost too open at this time of year, when usually these trees, I don't know what kind of tree, they usually have flowers in April. And then at that time, you know, after the leaves fall off and then come back, you'll see these trees basically filling the whole window, which is one reason why I've neglected for several years actually to get blinds installed. The building is an old tong lao, built, I believe, in the 1970s. The landlords are, they're called, it's kind of an association called Hong Kong and Kowloon Footwear Manufacturers Association. And it's quite clear that these aren't the guys who own the factories. These are the workers. And I think they bought this place, and it must be very cheap. This Gao Yu Fong, I think, originally started as a kind of street of brothels, I was told. And then somebody told me in the 80s it became, I think, some sort of shopping street or market. And now the tenants in this building are a mix of blue-collared Chinese people who've been here for a long time, or even decades, and II, that say, I wouldn't judge their immigration situations, but they're Ban Mui, Thai Mui, and I think one or two Nepalese. This is one reason I was actually able to make this place do what it does, is that the landlord had no idea that anyone would want to live in this building, except six Filipinas. When I came in here, there were three rooms in this space over here, each one with bunk beds. There must have been six people living in here. And this was a real wall. So obviously I tore all the interior walls out and then tried to give some sort of division to the space, while leaving it more open and transparent. We came up with the idea of having this kind of fusuma. Of course, cost was one issue. And of course, it actually gave me an interesting intellectual challenge, because it's like, how do you do something interesting without necessarily using expensive imported Italian materials or whatever? Look at the screen, the glass here. This wire glass actually used to be used for public toilets and things like that because it can easily be broken. But actually, when you use it like this, it has a really interesting look, especially at night with the lights outside and all that. The light gets refracted and it's quite pretty. Now I have floodlights outside, which right now I need to pay somebody to climb up the building and install new ones because the bulbs are dead. But it was great when I moved in because I could install a green light. But I just showed my ignorance of traditional Chinese culture at that point, because I was literally got a letter from a kind of delegation of old people in the neighborhood who pleaded with me to change the color of the light, because I guess green is the color of ghosts or something like that. And they were saying that they're even afraid of walking down the street at night, that people would change their route when walking home. Anyway, that was too bad, because it was quite beautiful. But now I just moved to yellow, the same kind of sodium yellow you have in street lamps and things like that. Certainly I've described the people who are living in this building. More generally, the street is in transition. Most of the tenants are like, as I described, the blue-collar Chinese who've been here for a long time. And then there are immigrants from South Asia or Southeast Asia. But the neighborhood has been gentrified, kind of methodically, which was one reason why I moved in, because I really felt when I moved in, there was nothing here except print shops, but I felt that given the atmosphere on this little area with that, that it doesn't have much traffic and steps, sort of a mess. But I think if they could clean it up a little bit, it could be like San Francisco or something actually quite attractive. And that, since it's almost immediately adjacent to Soho, which is small and limited, that as the Soho grew, they would inevitably be overflock in this direction, which is what happened. So literally there was nothing here. Let's say no restaurant, except Gaoge. But now recently, a lot of private eating clubs opened up. A few. There's a great French place where you can eat on the little, almost like piazza outside. It's like being in Italy somewhere. And a pizzeria that delivers. Gaoge. Oh, I don't know if you know this kind of cha chantang kind of place. It used to be up on Aberdeen Street. They moved down here. So it's become much more convenient than it used to be. But it's always quite close. It's nice. You have a very good wet market just basically 50 meters away. To walk into Central is very fast. I time that you can walk to the airport express station in 6 minutes. So it's an incredibly convenient place to live. It's also nice you can, one key thing is there's no through traffic. So occasionally you get noise when trucks come in or something like deliveries. But other times it's completely quiet. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the local children come out and play badminton. So it's almost like living in a small village in a way, right in the middle of the city, which makes it quite special. Now, it turns out the layout of this space, since, I'm living here alone. I'm away about 2 to 3 weeks a month. I thought making this place less of a home than sort of as a kind of machine for living, or kind of an office space with living arrangements attached. So obviously you can see I made the bed almost like a day bed, like a, I can roll right off bed and sit at my desk and all that. And also a lot of table space and workspace, and also bookshelf space. Although I grossly underestimated how many books I would acquire over the years. It seemed like a lot of space when I moved in, but it's a big problem for me now to figure out, what am I going to do? Obviously, you see the boxes here that I'm just putting a lot of stuff in storage just to get it out. And then the biggest dissatisfaction I had, although there's no other way it could be done, is that you only have this tiny room at the back with any kind of plumbing here. So essentially, I crammed the toilet, kitchen, and shower into this very small wedge-like place in there. Now, it works very well when I'm here alone, but obviously it becomes an issue when I have people over. People stay, or if my maid comes while I'm taking a shower. But I don't regret doing it that way, because there was simply no other option. But in the future, I'd really like to have a space so you could have a proper, separate bathing space and toilet space and kitchen. I've lived here now for almost 5 years. Before that, I lived on McDonnell Road in a, probably an illegal structure, on the roof of a tong lao. And that was also a very nice space, quite charming. It was like a Paris attic apartment, which was sort of, it was built of wood, basically. This site had sublet from a friend of mine who I was very lucky to get at the time. She had signed a lease, and then suddenly totally changed her plan and had to go to New York. So I moved in and it was like, so you're up there on the 6th floor overlooking Hong Kong Park. A cockatiel came in every day to sit outside my window at 6 p.m. McDonald Road is noisier than here, but it's also leafier and greener. That was quite nice. The only problem is that Hong Kong is very humid, as you know, and this place was essentially a small wooden structure, basically like a maze that ended on the roof. And so it's kind of rotting. I don't even know if you can fix that other than tearing the whole thing down and rebuilding it. And even the carpet was sort of rotting around. So there was nowhere for the moisture to go down, as it was originally a roof. How did I move here? I just had a friend who was sort of a contractor and probably would have become an architect or a designer. Well, not probably, would have become an architect or a designer. If life had been more generous to him. I mean, when people have bad luck, you'll always have to do these things to survive. And he helped me a lot with this place because he knew how to find the workers and to get things done. And also he had practical experience, so he knew how to translate my ideas into proper drawings. And also he knew what could realistically be done and what could not. He, also not having much money himself, he knew all these little kind of neighborhoods and places and has kind of an eye for these buildings and knew where to find them. So he was with his real estate agent and saw this building, and he just called me up and said, "There's this building here. It doesn't look like much, but if you can use your imagination, you could really see that you could do a lot here." And probably the total cost of all the work here was about 120,000 Hong Kong dollars, which in perspective is amazingly cheap. I think part of the reason is that probably there's no other city in the developed world you could get all this work so cheap. You just do it in China. I mean, the windows here were made in Sendak. I think it costs like $1,000 US. I priced it from the guy right up the steps. I think he's probably moved by now. But the same stainless steel guy, the guy who has the contract to do the stainless steel fittings for the MTR, he quoted 3 times that. And you know, the door as well and all those things. You know, the thing is, actually, the most relatively expensive thing, of course, is the glass, because that can't be done that way. And also you have the glazier to actually come in on site and do that. But everything else was done quite on a bearable budget. And there's basically one Sifu, and he did most of the work himself. I think he brought 1 or 2 guys to help paint, and that was pretty much it. At home, what do I do? A lot of work, reading or surfing the internet, or essentially preparing the traveling that I was doing most of the time. I cook. Sometimes I cook a lot. Sometimes I don't. As you know, it's easier and almost cheaper to eat out in a city like Hong Kong. There's no real need to cook. And so I tend to do it more for fun once in a while. Because one really nice thing about Hong Kong is that it's the only city in Greater China that has a special supermarket. Sometimes it's almost like kind of entertainment when you go to City Super or Great, buy all these things and then cook them at home. I also go to wet markets too, just because I actually like seafood. And of course, the more expensive thing to eat, but also in some way the easiest, because you just buy prawns and then you just throw them in a pot and then boil them and it's ready in 5 minutes. And all these little things you have here, you know, you can just up the steps, there's a soy milk shop, and a lot of things are available to you. And it's quite a small, small area. In principle, I'd like to invite my friends into my home, but I don't invite them because my schedule is so chaotic and I'm not organized to really get something together here. But I have had a few parties and things like that, but not as often as the way I should have, as I'd like. I came here, I already had things in the other apartment in Hong Kong, but I essentially came to Hong Kong with very little, which is one reason why I wanted to come and also start over in a way. Also, it's easy for me at that time because my parents still had the family apartment in New York. When I came here, it was only a few years before they sold that. So I had a place to put my things that I had there. How do I store my belongings? Well, you can see it all here. The biggest problem is that this space was designed to house the things I had at the time when I moved in. One mistake I made that I should have allowed like 30 to 50% more space than what I had. As you can see in my closet, because once I've been accumulating a lot of last few years' clothes mostly, because I could afford to do so now. But 5 years ago, I was still struggling quite a bit. Do I have enough space? I don't have a choice. Sometimes I kind of feel claustrophobic or boxed in here, and I don't know what I would do if I really had to live here, like staying here all the time. But that's the dilemma of Hong Kong, because of the way the land is developed here. Even if you can afford a very large space. I guess what I want to say is that only the most incredibly expensive places have large rooms. Even larger apartments, they mostly tend to be carved into small spaces. So really only places on the Peak and Kadoorie Avenue, I think, would have large space. I think that if space is an issue for you, you have to move out of Hong Kong. Or I guess you could move to Lantau. Or actually, I guess Lantau is the only place, because Lama and Sai Kung, it seems that most of the housing is sort of in the village, which itself is rather small. That is, only in Lantau that I've seen big houses and this kind of thing. In theory, I would like to move in a bigger place, but in practice, if I have that choice, both in terms of the additional money I would need to spend, and also the money and effort that actually moving and decorating the new place would take, I would choose to spend that money in a different way. Together, really big space in Hong Kong Island is about $300 US a month. Probably 20-something, like 24, something like that. I am paying much less. Actually, the difference between that and this, I could get a beautiful rented, fully serviced apartment in Bangkok. So I think what I would choose to do in that case would be to get a space like that. And then keep this as kind of proletarian in Hong Kong. Because I don't really need to be here. As much as I can do my work anywhere. And the really primary reason I stay here is the inertia that I am here. And to go somewhere else would take money and time and effort. There's no advantage to doing it. No matter how much I travel, I still need an address, a place to store my things, and I kind of hop around, which everything I am doing can move. I just need the way my life has evolved, that no matter where I technically live, I'm going to spend most of my time away. So it might as well be Hong Kong. And another one nice thing about Hong Kong is things are so well organized and efficient that you can actually live like that. I mean, let's say a place like China, one big province. Things are so structured and theoretical that you could do that, but also things always go wrong. There are always problems. There are always breakdowns that require your attention. And also systemic things are simply that there's no way in China, let's say paying your phone bill, other than actually going down to the telephone office and paying it. Now, of course, in practice, what most expatriates do is somebody else does it for them, or the management company or the condominium actually does it. But to live in most of the places requires you have to be there to make sure things don't go wrong. The amazing thing about this place is that in 5 years, nothing has gone wrong. I mean, I've never had any. The only problem I ever had was I had some books damaged when the air conditioner started to leak. I guess what happened was that the condensation pipe that goes to the outside, there could be dust and the beads build up. And then it all got backed up, so there literally could be pouring water. And one mistake I made that never occurred to me, that putting the air conditioner directly over the bookcase was a vulnerable position. Actually, at that time, I thought it might be a good one because it would keep them dry. I mean, from humidity in the air. But whereas, I'll give you an example of my friend in Beijing where I just stayed. I was sitting downstairs one morning and I noticed something smelled. And it's a duplex. So I was in the living room and the kitchen was behind, and then I turned around and there's a smoke and fire pouring out of the water heater. This little thing for you to keep the water for tea. and it was billowing by that point toxic smoke. And everything in the room was covered with a thin layer of grime. And it was just terrifying because I realized that had we been asleep, if it happened while we were sleeping, we would all be dead. Or if we're out, the whole place would have been burned down. And the thing is, I told my friend just then, I said, swallow your nationalistic pride and next time get a Japanese or maybe German water heater, because it was some sort of generic water heater, local China-made brand. And what kind of quality would be so low and the wiring so badly done in this thing that spontaneously combusted? I think you could never imagine that anything can happen, that it would be so unlikely for that to happen here, because things work more or less as they should. People think that things here are inspected and products are certified, and the architecture here may be often mediocre and also cheaply done, but also properly done. And as I said, I've never had a single problem with this apartment, other than the conversation we had on the air conditioner. They're all like dull or practical things. It depends on how you use your space, because you don't feel you have to be there all the time to make sure that the pipes don't freeze in the winter, or like the kitchen or blows up or something like that.